You heard about the three wise women who came after the three wise men? No. They brought fresh diapers. They brought baby formula. And they brought fresh swaddling clothes. What would we do without women? Epiphany, meaning manifestation. It's an event as important as Christmas itself. In fact, Jesus incarnated in the world at Christmas, and Jesus manifested to the world at Epiphany are two sides of the same coin. Now, we get much information about the Magi directly from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew tells us that Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, finally got to Bethlehem, where they did homage to the Christ child and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But there is much information that has now become part of tradition that are not found in the scriptures. For example, Matthew does not say how many magi were there, but tradition tells us that there were three. So there are many other interesting developments in the tradition of the magi slash three kings. And today I want to draw towards the end of my homily some practical implications from the biblical and extra biblical information that we have about the magi. So let me first talk about some very interesting pieces of information and the development of tradition. First of all, the commonly accepted number of the three magi, for example, has become common only because the magi offered three gifts. There's no other reason to believe that there were not more than three. The other interesting detail is that Matthew does not refer to the visitors as kings, but only as magi. Magi literally translates as member of the priestly class from ancient Persia, which is now Iraq. The names of the magi as Balthasar, Gaspar, and Melchior comes to us from a 6th century Greek manuscript. But these are not the only names we know. There are other traditions that have other names for the Magi. So a Christian writing preserved in Ethiopia identifies the Magi as Hor, but called king of the Persians, Basanather, king of Saba, and Karsuden, king of the East, most probably the Arab world. Interestingly, the Zoroastrian scholar Dariush Jahanian, and I'm going to mess all these names up, but quoting another 6th century Syrian source, names the Magi as Hormizda, king of Persia, Yazdegerd, king of Saba, and Peruzad, king of Sheba. However, it is said that these names, the later names, they're all Persian and not necessarily Arab or Sabaean. Now, and perhaps it is because of these sources that the Magi began to be identified as kings. There is yet another significant development which we need to pay attention to. In almost all modern representations of the Magi, Balthasar is depicted as black. There are very few images of a black Balthasar before 1400 AD. In fact, in many of the representations, you have a white, a brown, and a black Magi, but particularly the black Magi is identified as Balthasar. And we owe the black Balthasar to a text from Saint Bede the Venerable. Although we might conclude that a black Balthasar was a product of the fusion of Europe's increased awareness of Africa in the 1400s. Also the influence of Renaissance art in the 15th century. But then a significant influence of Venerable Bede, who was a respected and a venerated theologian, historian, and chronologist. Now, tradition also has it that after discovering the newborn king of the Jews and paying him homage, the Magi returned home. When they returned home, they gave up their titles, distributed their property to the poor, and dedicated themselves to spreading the gospel. Tradition also has it that the apostle St. Thomas baptized them 40 years later in India. There is also the tradition that tells us that St. Thomas ordained them as priests in India and that they were martyred there. However, there is an excerpt from a medieval saint's calendar printed in Cologne, which says that, and this is a direct quote, "Having undergone many trials and fatigues for the gospel, the three wise men met at Sewa," which is in present Armenia. They met in about 54 AD to celebrate the Feast of Christmas. Thereupon, after the celebration of Mass, they died. Saint Melchior on the 1st of January, aged 116. Balthasar on the 6th of January, aged 112. And Gaspar on the 11th of January, aged 109. A further tradition holds that the three Magi became martyrs and were buried in the walls of Jerusalem. Now, this detail cannot be verified, but doesn't mean that it's not true. 300 years later, Empress Helena, mother of Constantine the Great, who went on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, is said to have discovered these bodies and got them transferred to Saint Sophia in Constantinople. At one point, the capital of Catholicism or Christianity moved from Rome to Constantinople. Now, during the First Crusade, their bodies were taken to Cathedral of Milan, where when Emperor Barbarossa conquered Milan in 1164, the relics of the Magi were given to Reinaldus, the Archbishop of Cologne, Germany. They were later interred in Cologne Cathedral, and to this day, these relics can be found here, where they are beautifully enshrined in a reliquary. There's more information about it, but I decided to just take that much. So in light of this history and tradition, what should we make of the Feast of the Epiphany? And so here are my very, very brief three practical implications for us. First, I'm deeply touched by the impact that the Christ child had on the Magi. History tells us, tradition tells us, legend tells us that it completely transformed their lives. They gave up their titles, they distributed all they had to the poor, and they went and preached the gospel. After they met Jesus, it was not merely a star that was leading them, it was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ consumed their lives and their existence. And so, the Magi invite us today to let Christ have the same impact on us. Are we like the wise Magi? May your life and mine tell that story. Secondly, the depiction of Magi as people of different colors and races helps us to imagine a parish community as a global community. The Magi are the microcosm of a parish community, really. No one should ever feel unwelcome in a worshiping community. And it clearly was a problem in the early church. In today's second reading, Paul struggles to convince the Jewish Christians that Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, and co-partners in Christ Jesus through the gospel. The Magi bear witness to a global nature, indeed, the Catholicity of the Catholic Church. And this is going to be something that's going to challenge us a lot in the coming years because of the families of parishes. And it is natural. It is natural. This is not something that's unnatural. But the desire not to lose ourselves for the sake of a greater good is a great temptation. It's for me too. And so it's going to be a challenge. How do we focus on the Catholicity of the Catholics in this entire region as opposed to individual parish communities? It's going to come to a challenge in this coming days. It'll be a challenge for us. And finally, then, there are the gifts that the Magi offered. The Magi's gifts were intimately connected with Christ and his work of redemption. This is something that I want us to think about quite a bit. So the gifts that they gave to Christ was connected to the events of redemption, right? So gold for a king, incense for the Lord, and myrrh for his burial. Today, gifts are alienated from the event we celebrate. We give a lot of gifts, but they're disconnected from the event we celebrate. For example, I don't know if you know this or not, but did you know where Santa's red outfit comes from? That's the gift of the Coke company. Santa's red gift is devised by Coke for greater sales. So you see how events of our redemption and salvation are completely taken out of it, and then it becomes takes on its own life. And today we are all into it, right? They're clever. They're very clever. I hope Christians were as clever as the Coke company. So in many countries, I don't know if you know this, in many countries, it's not Santa who gives gifts. It's the Magi who gives gifts to the children. So there is, I believe, a tremendous need to reappropriate Christmas and Epiphany and reconnect them to the events of our redemption. Folks, and this is my conclusion. The Magi did homage to the divine child. And then their lives became a witness to the Christ they met. And my prayer today is that after we do homage to the same Christ, may our lives too be transformed and shine like the star that will lead others to Christ. People of God said,